Hey there, my lovelies, and welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
This week's episode is a very special M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza. We're going to discuss M. Night Shyamalan as a director, how we feel about him, while specifically looking at his most recent horror efforts, The Visit from 2015, and Split, which is now in theaters. Our Split discussion will be spoiler-free, since it's still in theaters. We don't want to ruin it for you guys, but we will have a spoiler-filled discussion after our music at the end of the episode. We urge you not to listen to the end of the episode unless you've seen it, because we don't want to spoil it.
Seriously, don't ruin this for yourself.
You don't want to ruin it. Also, we will be spoiling The Visit right now-ish. So that's currently streaming on HBO Go. If you haven't checked it out yet, I also urge you to watch that before spoiling it for yourself. The responsibility is now out of my hands. Godspeed.
You've done what you could do.
I've done what I can do. Okay. Listen at your... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and you totally nailed the Shyamalan, I can't even say it, Shyamalan
extravaganza. It's so much fun to say, if you can say it. I urge all of our listeners to try to say Shyamalan extravaganza as many times as you can. I practiced it so many times. I'm also drinking, which loosens the lips a little bit. It allows the multi-syllabic words to come out.
I was really impressed in your...
Impressed by my multi-syllabic vocabulary?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very much.
Very expensive literature education I got that I don't put into play very often.
Thank you, SUNY Purchase.
Thank you, SUNY Purchase. That's where we went to school. Okay, moving on. Before we start our M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza, I'm going to say that so many times. Let's quickly jump into a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
This week's trailer is A Cure for Wellness, which is an English and German language film, a mystery thriller film. The theatrical release is February 17th, so coming to a theater near you, maybe. I think it's going to be wide release. I didn't check. I'm supposed to. I didn't.
No, it totally is, because there's posters for this everywhere.
Yeah, and they showed the trailer when I went and saw Split yesterday, so I'd assume it's going to be wide release. It's directed by Gore Verbinski, who directed The Ring and the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and Rango and a bunch of other stuff. It's written by Justin Hathey.
I don't know. There's a Y in there.
Something like that. There's a Y and an E. It's confusing. It's written by him. And yeah, I think that this looks awesome.
It looks super good. It kind of reminds me, like, makes me think of, now I'm totally blanking on the movie because I was going to tell you about it before. Shit. That movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
This is why we write things down, Carly.
Well, I literally just watched this.
I'm just joking.
It's also because, the kid that's in it, Dane, whatever, Dahan, he reminds me of Leonardo DiCaprio. Shutter Island, that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
It reminded me of that, but, like, more crazy.
It looks insane and awesome, and I can't believe it says mystery thriller, because it looks like a fucking horror movie to me. I don't know, like a sci-fi horror.
Yeah, that's testing people and feeding them weird live microorganisms.
Yeah, there's like eels or snakes or something, and like some body horror, like a bowl full of teeth for some reason.
Why not?
Fuck. It's got so much good stuff in the trailer, and it looks gorgeous. The cinematography looks so amazing. The set design looks so amazing. The graphics look so amazing. I mean, even if it sucks, it's still going to be amazing to watch because of how gorgeous it looks.
I love the poster for this movie.
Yeah, everything looks great for this. Everything. Expectations super high.
No trash talking here.
No trash talking this week. Really trash talk. Most of the time we don't trash talk. We should change the name of the segment, but I love the name of the segment, so we're not going to change the name of the segment.
Speaking of trash talk, I have some things to say about a certain movie that I saw a couple days ago.
Carly, before you break my heart, Don't go breaking my heart. We are drinking.
If I tried.
We both had hard days. We both had shitty long Mondays.
It's been a Monday.
We're both drinking. It's nighttime. Warning you now about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get on with the M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza.
Woo!
And play a quick game that it's not really a game, but I'm going to call it a game because it makes me happy. I'm going to go through all of M. Night Shyamalan's movies. You have to say seen, haven't seen, or want to see. Okay?
Okay. Are we talking like writer, director?
I'm going to go through all of them. His writing, his directing movies and his written movies he just wrote and didn't direct.
Okay.
I'll go through all of them. I just want to do this because I want the audience to know, or our listeners to know, what movies we've seen and what movies we haven't seen before we shit talk or not, so they know what we're basing our ideas off of. So that was my thought behind this.
I like your thoughts.
Okay. So I'm going to start with the earliest and work my way up. I'm going to start with his movies he directed.
Cool.
Okay, so Praying with Anger.
Never saw it. Didn't know it existed until I IMDb'd him the other day.
Same. Haven't seen. But wanna see?
Sure.
Yeah. Wide Awake.
Haven't seen.
Wanna see. The Sixth Sense.
Seen.
Seen. Unbreakable.
Seen.
Seen. Signs.
Seen.
Seen. The Village.
Seen.
Seen. Lady in the Water.
Seen.
Haven't seen. The Happening.
Seen.
Haven't seen. Oh, you sucker. The Last Airbender.
Seen.
Haven't seen, you sucker.
I'm a nerd.
After Earth.
Haven't seen, I don't think.
Haven't seen.
No, I haven't seen that.
The TV show. Go ahead.
Wait, is that the one with Will Smith? I've seen that. No, I have seen it.
Oh, you said you...
I have seen it. It made me cry.
I'm laughing at you. Not.
I had no idea that was an M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza movie.
How did you not know that was an M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza movie?
Because it has Will Smith and his son, and I didn't know. And I didn't know.
Have you
I
seen
saw
the
that
show?
In theater, actually,
I'm so disappointed in you. And the way I'm worried about your spending habits.
Oh man, I go to the movies. I'm like. That was me throwing paper.
Make it rain.
Yeah.
That was the throwing paper sound. Have you seen the show Wayward Pines?
No.
I think he just produced that and he directed like one episode or something. I have seen it and I like it. The Visit?
Yes. Seen
it. Split. Seen. Both of us have seen both of those. How about Stuart Little, which he wrote?
Seen with the adorable mouse.
Seen. How about Devil?
Haven't seen.
Oh, you've never seen Devil?
Uh-uh.
Oh, see, that's one worth seeing, I think. And it's not great, but...
It's been on my thing for a while, but I just... Whenever I'm, like, scrolling through Netflix and I see The Elevator, I'm just like, pass.
I mean, you're not really missing much, but in terms of M. Night Shyamalan movies, like, of, like, the decade it came out in, it was one of his better movies.
I honestly didn't even know that was an M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza movie either.
Okay, so now that the audience has an idea of the movies we've seen. Okay, he also he's doing Tales from the Crypt, which is coming out in 2017 as a TV show again.
That's pretty exciting.
It is kind of exciting. And then he's working on A Labor of Love, which we will discuss later.
Cool.
So let's just jump into The Visit then. So I take it from your tone that you didn't like The Visit.
Oh, no, I actually, I was fine with The Visit.
Oh, okay. You said you didn't like a movie that you saw a couple days ago. I just kind of assumed it was The Visit.
No, it was actually... we can talk about that later when we're talking about ourselves.
Okay.
No, I actually liked The Visit. There were certain things that I had issues with, but I don't think... I can't figure out how I would have done it differently. So, like, I wasn't completely sold on... I wasn't completely sold on the found footage aspect of it. But, like, maybe it was just, like, the way that it was kind of filmed kind of, I don't know, was weird sometimes. But, I don't know. I had to explain my thoughts.
Well, we can dive in a little bit and discover our thoughts a little further. But I, just to intro it, It's 2015 film. It's now streaming on HBO Go. Actually, a lot of his movies are currently streaming on HBO Go. So if you need to play M. Night Shyamalan Extravaganza catch-up, you can do that on HBO Go. Otherwise, you're fucked if you don't have HBO Go. Yeah. Sorry we're using that as a streaming service this week. We kind of took advantage. We don't usually do HBO Go movies, but...
Guys, they've got a lot of really great movies on right now, though. They just put out Nice Guys. Like, yeah. Fucking get with the program.
I think having HBO Go is 100% worth the money.
Me too. The Night Of series, if you haven't seen it, Watch it. Jinx. Like, they've got, it's worth the $10 a month or whatever.
Yeah, if you have the money to be thrown around for subscription services, HBO Go should be on the top of your list. But
it's true.
We try to steer away from it only because not as many people have it. But I like to use that, and I use it often. Just alone, for the TV shows alone. Like, how do you watch Game of Thrones without HBO Go?
That's my thing. Like, if you love good things, you love Game of Thrones, so you should have HBO Go.
There's some, like, great other shows on there, too, like... A lot of them.
The Night Of, I'm telling you. If you haven't seen it, you should see it.
Really, I know. Fun. I haven't seen it yet, but I will watch it. I want to see it. I just haven't gotten there.
Binge that sucker.
I know, right? Okay, so The Visit starring Olivia DeJonge.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Ed Oxenbold.
Nailed
it. And Deanna Dunnigan.
Yep.
Thank you.
Peter McRobbie. He's the pop-up.
Oh, yeah. I'm pop-up. Sorry, and he wasn't listed as starring.
Catherine Hahn. I love her.
I love Catherine Hahn.
Me too.
She's great in this.
She's so adorable and always believable. I love Catherine Hahn.
I want to say that I really enjoyed this movie and I was really excited to watch it because I heard great things about it. I didn't want to see it in theaters because I was still a little timid to go back to M. Night after my long...
Sure.
Divorce or breakup that we had. We had a breakup.
I understand. I'm pouring more wine, by the way.
That's good for you, girl. Get at it. This was the first film he's done since The Village that did not receive a Razzie. Razzie nomination, at least.
I read that. That's pretty, deserved. This was a good movie. Like, I loved that there wasn't a score, that it stuck with, like, the found footage feel that, like, until the very end, there wasn't, like, there was that creepy, like, you know, old school, old movie. I loved that, like, I want to see the other cuts of this movie. Like, I'm wondering if, like, there's a DVD with all the special features, because he cut one version as a comedy, one as, like, a true horror, and then one in between, which is the final cut that we've seen. And, like, I want to watch... The other cuts. So bad.
I would like to watch the other cuts, too. I would especially like to watch the one where it's only a horror movie.
Me too.
Although, I like M. Night Shyamalan because he does balance horror and comedy pretty well. I like M. Night Shyamalan because I think he's a really good writer. I'm not to say that he doesn't falter, but in terms of developing characters... having a cohesive storyline, tying up all those loose ends, he's consistently good at that, especially with the loose end thing. There's very few of his movies that I can think of that I've seen where I wasn't satisfied with the ending or I wasn't satisfied with the closure that you get at the end of the film. He's very good at that. It's most of his films that, at least the ones that I enjoy, are very satisfying in that way. And this film's no different. I think there's very few plot holes. There's very few things where I'm like, ugh, why didn't you do this?
There's one for me.
Yeah, there's a couple little things, but I think in the grand scheme of things, in comparison to his other movies that he's been doing recently, I'm so excited. It made me so happy, and it made me remember that I actually really like M. Night Shyamalan, and I've been shit-talking him for so long, and I feel almost bad about it.
because I've never shit talked him because like,
oh, see, I have,
I remember what he does and has done so well that like, while I have seen movies of his and they haven't thrilled me, like I still always enjoy some aspects of what he gives me, you know?
It's true. 'Cause he's a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
I think he, yeah, no, I agree with that. The Sixth Sense. Unbreakable, Signs. Signs is one of my all-time favorites. Like, I love Signs so much. Good. I think I like Signs more than The Sixth Sense. I think
it's my favorite. I actually even haven't seen it in a really long time, too, because I kind of took a break from rewatching his movies because they became such a, like, what's the twist?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. But these movies that we're discussing today, they do have twists. But I also, like, watching interviews with him in preparation of this episode, I was like, he just seems like such a genuine, nice person, too. Like, he seems down to earth and he seems humbled and intelligent. So it feels bad. I feel bad because of how I've been talking about him for the past decade. But at the same time, I mean, he's got to know he fucked up.
He knows what he did.
Well, I mean, I don't mean that in a shitty way, but just...
No, I know.
Okay, so I took the time to go through his movies that came out recently and write down how much his budget was versus how much it made. So, Carly, you can look at it. It's right in front of you. I typed it all out for you. So starting with The Sixth Sense, it had a $40 million budget and it brought in $294 million.
That's insane.
That's a big... big profit.
Yeah.
Unbreakable was $75 million, brought in $95 million, still a profit. We're okay. Signs, much bigger, $72 million budget, $228 million profit, or not profit, brought in $228 million. The Village again, $20 million to $114 million. And then we hit Lady in the Water.
It seems like the Village is what did some damage. People weren't impressed.
I was not impressed. That's where I fell off the boat too. The Village was not for me.
It's really funny because when I was so excited to see The Village, and I kind of guessed the spoiler before it happened.
Which was easy to do.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I feel like it's like, I compared it to like Brigadoon, which is like a musical that like, it's like people from the past, but they're in the future. I don't know. But then like, I saw it with Kenny, and I remember we were waiting in line for like the second showing of the night. And I guess someone drove by and like spoiled the ending, like shouted out. I missed an it, asshole. But Kenny heard it. And he was like, I'm fucking pissed. And I was like, I didn't hear it, but I have my own ideas.
Yeah.
I think the problem with it is that the spoiler happened too soon.
That's what I have always said. It happens way too soon. And you can't tell Amy, being me, I'm speaking in the third person. You can't tell Amy that there's monsters in your movie and then not have fucking monsters in your movie. I'm sorry, spoiler alert. I was trying to be vague. I'm not going to be vague. Fuck it. If you haven't seen The Village yet, just don't even see it. Don't bother.
That's true.
How are you going to do that to me? How are you going to break my heart like that? You just came out with a movie with awesome aliens in it that scared the crap out of me. Then you come out with a cool old school monster movie. Fuck yes, I'm excited. What? No monsters? Go fuck yourself. I did. After I found out there are no monsters, which you find out in basically the beginning.
Yeah.
I was over it. So I had to sit there for another hour knowing there was no fucking monsters to watch.
And obviously this hurt.
Stewing in my own pain and anger.
I mean, you didn't go see Lady in the Water, so this affected your want to go 100%. See something else.
100%. Yeah. And granted, if someone said, you should go see Lady in the Water, it's really good, I would have seen it. But guess what? Nobody said that. Because
nobody said it.
It didn't happen. $70 million budget, $42 million brought in. Yikes. The Happening, similar thing. $48 million budget, $65 million brought in.
It probably was Zooey Dee and Marky Mark that brought in that profit money.
Yeah.
But also, I actually really liked the twist in this. Not like, it wasn't really a twist, but it was like the reason why in The Happening.
Oh. Come on. I even know the twist of that. There's no way that's good.
I liked it. Can I tell you the thing that I think about? So when The Happening came out, it had like these huge like subway posters everywhere, and like some genius in New York City would just go and like color over them to make it just say the penis. And so that's what I think of whenever I think about The Happening, is these posters that just look like the penis.
I'm five, so I think that's hilarious.
I do too, which is why it's like amazing. And I felt like I needed to mention it on the M. Night Shyamalan extravaganza.
That's really good. I like that. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make in giving you all these budgets, which you probably don't care, is that The Visit had a fucking $5 million budget.
He paid for it.
He paid for it. Guess what, Carly? He had to fucking pay for that. You know why? Because he bombed the last four movies he did before that.
You know what's crazy and also very sad is that,
but
like...
But it brought in $65 million. He paid $5 million. It brought in $65 million. So then, obviously, you're back on track there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he used, what, his money from After Earth, I think, right? Which did not great. But I saw it, so I contributed.
It did bad. It did real bad. It did really bad.
But he used that to pay for The Visit. And I think it's crazy sad because I was reading some stuff about it and, like, he had been making movies that got taken away from him, which, like, sucks in, like, post-production. Yeah. That's such a bummer.
It is. It's such a bummer. And I just think that maybe he needs to work with his own money and not other people's. And then maybe, I don't know. And Split only had a $10 million budget. I mean, in comparison to all of his other movies, that's really, really small still. And it's already brought in almost $100 million.
Yeah.
So it's already far exceeded its budget. So in terms of profit. So he seems to do better with smaller budget films. All of his popular films are smaller budget films. Once he starts getting to the 100 and whatever million dollar thing, it's when it starts to go downhill. Although I guess The Happening isn't crazy big, but still, yikes. So it makes sense people stopped giving him money and he had to use his own, but he fucking turned it around. I'm going to give him props. He fucking turned his shit around and he's killing it now. And I'm stoked for him and I'm stoked to like M. Night Shyamalan again. I'm stoked to like be able to say that out loud with a microphone in front of me and have people hear me say it and not be completely embarrassed by it. So welcome back. Welcome back, M. Night.
It is funny because there's definitely that stigma with him. Like even though I've never, like, really shit-talked him, because I, like we said, I do appreciate, you know, what he kind of does. But, like, even every single time I hear someone say, like, I love M. Night Shyamalan, I'm always like, ooh, really?
Did you just accidentally say that out loud?
Yeah, are you sure?
Because, you know, like, people can hear you?
I don't have anything against him, but I'm just saying, love, so strong.
It's kind of like a dirty secret, or like, you know, you're a closeted M. Night Shyamalan liker. And even just like, I think I rewatched Signs for October 31 Days of Horror month. Mm-hmm. And I remember rewatching it and being like, fuck, I love this movie. And I tweeted about it. And then I was like, ah, should I have done that? And then everyone was like, no, I love that movie. And I was like, yes, because it's a good movie. Where are you? And then he came back.
Science is awesome. I love Science.
It's so good.
And I think The Sixth Sense was like one of those movies that when I saw it, been a while like since I really saw something that scared me. And that movie freaked the shit out of me. Like,
yeah.
When Misha Barton was like dead girl underneath the bed, I was like, motherfucker, what is that? Like, that movie was scary to me.
I think it's also such a talent to be able to take movies, make horror movies, make thrillers that are PG-13 that still scare the crap out of you.
Totally.
Movies you can share with the younger generation. Movies I could watch with my nephew and they'll fucking give him nightmares, but it's still like, they're still good starter horror movies.
And it's not only that, but it's like, especially with The Sixth Sense, like you watch that movie and then you find out the twist. And then you're like, I gotta fucking watch that again because what? How did that make sense? And then you watch it and you're like, this totally makes sense. Like,
it makes so much sense.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, he's a great writer. And an interesting thing to say about the twists, we were joking about how all of his movies have twists and all of that. But in an interview, I heard him talk about his twists and how all of his movies have twists. And he doesn't like to think of them as twists. He doesn't like to think of them as tricking his audience. It's just a way to tell a story that he likes telling stories this way. And if you think about it, it's a great way to tell a story to kind of just expose everything towards the end. And, you know, they are twists. I mean, but But I can see where he's coming from and that he doesn't want to think of them as he's trying to trick his audience or anything. And twist does have kind of a negative connotation, at least now it does. I like his writing style, and I like that his movies have that, and I like that you're expecting it and you're trying to figure it out, and I'm still wrong, you know? Like, I still can't ever pinpoint it, even though I know to expect a twist.
I'm excited to talk about Split.
Well, let's talk about The Visit first.
I'm also excited to talk about The Visit, because, yeah. I mean, I really liked this movie a lot.
I'm surprised, because you don't usually like found footage films, as we noted from our found footage episode.
Yeah, I'm very judgy with found footage films, as you probably saw.
Would you consider this to be now in your top five found footage?
I don't remember what my top five found footage was. Right. I feel like lingering around four through six, I feel like I could see it. I also don't, this isn't necessarily found footage, because clearly the girl lived through the situation and then cut it. Yeah. But that being said, my only glaringly obvious issue with the movie would destroy the whole premise, because I feel like there's no way that these kids have never seen a picture of their grandparents, especially if her mom is sending them to see them. Other than that, this movie is super legitimate, and it's also kind of scary, because all of the things that, when they talk about sundowning, part of me really wishes that this movie was called Sundowning, even though,
That was actually an original title idea. It was going to be called Sundowning.
I understand why it's called The Visit, but, Sundowning's terrifying.
It is a terrifying title. Maybe if it was just strict a horror movie, that would have been the title for it.
That's the name of the horror cut.
Yeah, it should be, for sure. I totally agree.
But my grandma had Alzheimer's and dementia. Mm-hmm. And, there are that is a legitimately terrifying illness. These things are real, and they are, honestly terrifying. So, being these two kids thrown into this, weird, crazy, these crazy old people who are just kind of losing their minds slowly is totally legit.
I agree. And I think that it's also nice to kind of spin the genre on its head a little bit and poke fun at tropes where usually the kids are the creepy ones. And in this one, the elderly are the ones that are creepy and misunderstood or what have you. Maybe not misunderstood, but, dealing with illnesses and you're not quite sure what's going on. And I got tricked a few times watching this, thinking it's about aliens or something. I don't know. I knew there was going to be a twist. I was having difficulty figuring out what it was. And I also got a little bit fooled by, taglines and things like that, because sometimes those can be hints to twists and things like that. I couldn't put my finger on this one until they brought it up to light. I really enjoyed it. I got Tony to watch both of these movies with me, too, because he will watch M. Night Shyamalan, because he was definitely scared a couple times, especially when they're playing tag under their house. He's like, fuck this.
Seriously.
That scene is fucking creepy. Old ladies crawling around on all fours. Not a fan of that.
Naked grandma. Terrifying.
By the way, Granny's fucking hot. I hope I look like that when I'm old. I'm just saying. She looks old, but I'm just saying, for her age, she looks pretty good. She's got beautiful gray hair. Her body is in, a shape, not a blob. It's true. That's good. That's a thing that you want when you're old.
When you're old. It's true. Accurate.
I also thought that the acting in this was really good by both the adults and the kids.
Did you know the little boy is Australian?
No.
Dude does, a better English accent than American accent.
American.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I thought his American. I didn't know. I would have never thought. Same with James McAvoy. I don't think I realized that he was an American.
Oh, really? I'm I've been in love with James McAvoy for a really long time.
We'll get there. I love him. We'll get there. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Okay. So, I thought, a lot of the grandma, grandpa stuff was good. They slowly kind of eased you into realizing something's not right, and it gets more and more fucked up gradually. I really liked the crawling thing, and she gets up and she walks away and her ass is hanging out of her skirt, and it's just like, oh my god. I don't... The booze didn't work for me. Like, the jump scares didn't work for me. But that's me in general. I can usually predict them pretty good.
I'm trying to think.
At this point.
I'm trying to think if any of them got me. I don't remember any of them really being particularly scary. I remember definitely being creeped out by Grandma underneath the house.
Yeah.
That was really freaky.
Her running around the house with her arms behind her back.
And yeah, and crawling around.
Crawling naked, really fast.
Naked,
so
scratching
fast
on the thing.
Yes, that was terrifying. Her running around and then all of a sudden crawling. The crawling so fast. Like, how is she crawling so fast?
Yeah.
How did you do that? I'm so impressed by your fast crawling.
My one thing with M. Night Shyamalan, and I was kind of... Obviously, it's been a very long time since I've seen... Since I've knowingly seen, we'll say, an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I think the last knowing movie that I saw was The Happening. Okay. But his method of writing, he always has these weird monologues. No, they're not weird, but they're monologues that, you know, kind of set you up for a reason that something's going to happen in the future. And right. So I kept on kind of, you know, when like the little kid was talking about freezing, I was like, okay, well, this is going to come back later. And like, oh, you don't go into the basement. And they keep mentioning the basement. Okay, well, that's going to come. Like, I kept on making these like little pocket notes for myself. Like, well, this is going to come back later.
I did that too.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay. So I also really thought eating was going to come into play because grandma's big on cooking.
Yahtzee!
Yeah. The Yahtzee was stupid. That was like laughable.
That
like,
was,
there were some parts where I was like,
that was part of the comedy.
But I also know as like a kid, I still probably would have found that terrifying. Or when she's shoving cookies in her face and like, she's a mess. Like, as a kid, I would have found that terrifying. Like, now I'm just like, that's ridiculous. But I kind of like how there's parts of this movie that are scary for younger people, I'm sure. And then, like, also still scary for adults. Like, I think there's many levels to this movie that people of all ages can enjoy it. And all different genre lovers could still appreciate and enjoy this movie. I don't think it's not strictly for horror fans. And I think that's true for most of his movies. They play to many genres.
Absolutely, because it's always kind of, there's always something mental about his movies where it's kind of, you have to, you know, you are walking into an M. Night Shyamalan movie thinking that there's going to be a twist. So you're going to sit there and you're going to try to figure it out the whole time, like you were talking about before. But then it's true, like this isn't a straight horror movie. A lot of it is not really creepy. I mean, not like scary. There's not a lot of scary things happening. There's a lot of weird things happening that you're kind of trying to figure out as you go along. But it's definitely not straight horror. And
agreed.
I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of things that people would appreciate about this film.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, the things that didn't necessarily play well for me, I could see them playing well for someone else. Sure. I wouldn't want to say that they're not successful just because I didn't get a jump scare out of it. I'm sure that there's like some 14-year-old kid watching this who's fucking scared out of their pants when grandma yells Nazi. I'm scared when people yell Nazi. When she yells Yahtzee and like the cookies are hanging out of her mouth or whatever. I'm sure that could still freak someone out, you know. Okay.
The poor little kid's like, Becca.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And in term- she just disappears. I also really enjoyed the reveal and how it was revealed. I thought that was terrifying. Those aren't your real grandparents. Who are those people? Those aren't your grandparents. And I thought that the mom did a really good job in that scene, and that you can really tell she's like, okay, what the fuck?
She's
and
like,
how
wait,
do I fix this?
Those are the people that you've been staying with?
Yeah. Yeah.
You
could see her freak out and like be in shock for a minute and try to figure out internally like the best way to deal with it without trying to scare the crap out of her children. And I thought she did a really good job with that scene. I think as a mother, she did exactly the right thing. And it's nice to see intelligent characters doing the right thing sometimes in horror movies, especially women. I appreciate that because sometimes it's like, let's go upstairs.
I like the little tie-in when they're... Because when they're going, like, into town, when, like, the grandpa's driving them into town, they're like, oh, let's play this game where you pick a house or something, and you kind of come up with a story, and then they pick the police station, and they say it's this guy named Jerry that lives there, and he never answers the phone. And then, like, when the mom calls, it's, like, the police deputy or whatever his name is Jerry, and he's, like, not answering the phone. Like, I thought that was a funny little, like...
I didn't catch that. That's really cute.
I watched it twice.
Oh, okay. I would have liked to. I didn't really have the time to do that, but I like the reveal. I like how the grandparents are escapees that actually knew their grandparents and killed them. All in all, I just really enjoyed it. I'm excited that I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching it. And I really, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, the thing he does really well is he peppers in personality when there doesn't necessarily need to be personality, but it adds so much with so little. Like the kid liking rap music and the kid you know, saying women pop stars instead of swearing. Mm-hmm. And
or like all the random people that are like, I used to be an actor.
Yeah.
Let me do this Shakespearean monologue for you.
Right. Yeah, just like little things like that, they go a long way. Especially with me. I love that so much, and it adds so much for me. I find that I enjoy movies and get more attached to characters when things like that happen. Although, nothing made me more uncomfortable in this entire movie than that boy rapping. Like, every time he rapped, I'm like,
ugh. Me too. I'm glad that you also felt that way.
I feel that way a lot.
Actually, not true. To be honest... The poopy diaper in the face made me feel a little bit more uncomfortable than the rapping.
That was really horrible.
I was like, oh, God,
that was also very horrible. Yeah, especially for a poor kid who's OCD.
Oh, jeez.
You poor, poor thing.
I was just like, oh, my God, that soupy diarrhea diaper.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
It grossed me out.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So that made me feel more uncomfortable then.
Shania Twain, bitches. That was my favorite. I love that. I like the choice of pop stars that he used too, because they weren't like, you know, what you would normally think.
Totally.
They were like random. Okay. Yeah, his rapping I could have done without that. But, you know, it added character. It's boys that age are stupid and do stupid shit that. So it fits. Okay. I also really liked the ending. I thought the ending, the last interview with mom, really helped to tie together the pieces. And I felt more like one of my loose ends or one of my things that I didn't like while watching the movie was I was like, why is the mom just letting them go without A, talking to the parents on the phone first or dropping them off at least?
Yeah.
I felt very strange about her just putting them on a train and hoping it worked out.
And that's kind of what tied in with, like, do I believe that she sent them there without even showing them a picture, especially if they reached out via Facebook or something like that? Am I believing that these kids have no idea what their grandparents look like?
Right. And I think that the interview at the end helped me feel a little bit more comfortable in that I know how hard it probably was for the mom to even think about them going to the grandparents. It was enough for me to, like, understand. Do I think that it would have happened in real life? Probably not. But it was enough that I could suspend disbelief, you know, for the movie.
I let it go.
Yeah, I was able to let it go. Now, if they didn't do that, I probably would have had a much harder time with it. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that they went through and really explained what happened with the mom and how she really felt about her parents and things like that.
And how she was, like, against them going to begin with, but they really kind of, like, put out the effort.
Agreed. Although, I really can't imagine that a mom would just, like, not take them herself. It's weird.
I can believe that she wouldn't take them herself if it was a small town like that, but still with the not showing the picture things.
Yeah.
Or not having them talk to the grandparents prior to going.
That at least warrants a phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would have known with a phone call.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure it would have been uncomfortable, but you know the safety of your children versus a little bit of uncomfortableness.
Important.
Yeah.
But whatever, then we wouldn't have a movie, so.
That's true. We're letting it go.
Yeah.
I'm okay letting it
go. I'm over it.
Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to add for the visit?
No.
Me neither. A plus, guys.
Thumbs up.
Well, maybe not A plus, but A. At least an A.
Yeah.
B plus at most. At least.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
It was really enjoyable. You should see it if you haven't. It was fun. Even though we ruined everything for you.
I would totally watch it again. And I think even with it ruined, you could probably still really enjoy it. It's a fun movie. Okay. Moving along. Let's talk about Split. So we're going to do spoiler-free right now.
Yes.
And we'll do spoilers after the break. So just generalities about Split and how you felt about it, Carly.
I 100% love this movie so much. There were a lot of things, especially after watching The Visit, that I was kind of expecting mm-hmm. that I didn't get. And I was very excited that it was different than what I was expecting.
You are being, like, excessively cryptic. I mean, I know we're not spoiling.
But well, because I don't want to, like, give anything away. But, like,
I hear you.
From, I mean, it kind of just jumps right in. And I loved the, like, abnormally large opening credits. Like, the font of these huge block letters. Like, I was immediately like, what am I watching? I'm so in it. Like, yes, let's do this. I loved it. And I had read that, like, Joaquin Phoenix was originally chosen to be James McAvoy, and he couldn't do it because of a scheduling conflict, and I'm, like, enthusiastic about that, because James McAvoy, fucking pristine, amazing. I can't imagine anybody else in these roles.
Yeah, at the end of last week's episode, I did mention that I am very conflicted typically in movies where characters have to play multiple characters or their character acting or what have you. Case in point to the original Friday the 13th when Mrs. Voorhees has to do Jason's voice. I found that so comical and so uncomfortable. I was worried about this movie because I'm not as familiar with James McAvoy as Carly is. He's not my soulmate, although he kind of is now.
You can't have him.
Okay, it's fine. I'm married, so I'm not really looking. And if I was, he wouldn't be that high on the list. But I think that he did such a phenomenal job in this role. I laughed one time and one time only, and I think the time I laughed, I will talk about during spoilers. But I think that time it was okay to laugh.
Yeah,
we'll get to it then. But for the most part, I didn't find it funny. I at least not what was not supposed to be funny. I didn't find funny. I thought he did a killer job. Seriously, probably one of the hard. I'm not an actor, but I would think this is one of the hardest roles ever to fucking pull off.
So like, so well. I mean, we all know from the trailers that this is a fella with multiple personalities, and even at any point in time where he's going from one personality to another, like, it's so believable. Like, that change is just, like, you feel like you can feel it almost. You know what I mean?
But it's not even his speech.
Right.
You can see who he is mm-hmm. before he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, each character has their own mannerisms. Like,
it's insane.
It's really impressive. It's something to watch, for sure. Super impressed by it. And, like, here's a little anecdote. When I was, and to preface this, before I saw this movie, I was most uncomfortable with, I was most worried about him playing a 9-year-old boy, which is one of his personalities is a 9-year-old boy. This isn't a spoiler. It's known pretty quickly in the movie. And also in the trailer. The 9-year-old boy's name is Hedwig. So when I was in high school, I was in drama class, and we had to do monologues for our final. And the monologue I picked was of, like, a little kid. And I had to act this monologue out. I think I was, like, a 4-year-old girl or something. And I got stage fright and ran off stage because I was so embarrassed that I was acting like a little kid on stage in front of all of my peers. I had to go back out and start over again. It was the most awful thing ever. So maybe that's where like my anxiety comes from, watching people act like children. I have like this weird like, don't do it. You're going to embarrass yourself. No, that's just me. That's my own thing. But no. Phenomenal job. All the acting in this movie is great. Anya Taylor-Joy's back from The Witch and still killing it, doing a really good job. The other girls also, they did great. No complaints with acting whatsoever.
It was wonderful. Very, it was great.
Very impressed with it. Yeah,
phenomenal.
Definitely worth your money to see in theaters. I recommend seeing it in theaters. And don't read as little bit as you can about it. I don't even want to, like, go into the story at all.
No.
Just read as little as you can about it. Don't watch anything. Try to even avoid trailers. Just go and watch it, because the less you know, the better.
It's the best. I mean, I think it's, like, his best movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I want to say more about things I didn't like, but that's something we'll get in spoilers. I don't think it's flawless. But it's still up there. It's definitely up there for me in terms. And when I was watching it, I thought, this is so good. This is really good.
It, like, didn't even feel like an M. Night Shyamalan movie to me. And then, like, as everybody knows, this isn't a spoiler, but he always does cameos in his movie, except for The Visit, because that was, like, a found footage movie. He's not going to, like, weasel his way into that. But, like, until, like, that happened, I was like, this is an M. Night movie? Like, what?
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to think of other things I can say without spoiling, so we might have to stop here, at least for me. Is there anything you want to add that's spoiler-free?
He's the cinematographer from It Follows, and I think it definitely paid it off.
Oh, yeah. The cinematography was great.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. I agree. The set design was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah.
Simple and clean, but...
And, like, the tight shot. Like, all the shots of this movie were, like, deliberate, and they felt... It was, I mean, everything kind of, I feel like the film kind of was made to feel, even though it's not, like, it doesn't all take place in, like, one space, it, like, kind of makes you feel like you're in a confined space.
100%.
All the shots are really tight, and it kind of, like, I don't know, I go see it, and then listen to the end of our show, because it's, it's so good.
After you see it, please come back and listen to the rest if you haven't seen it. Again, spoilers after the music at the end of the episode.
Yes.
Okay. So let's close out then. Or you want to talk a little bit about what's going on with us?
Yeah, let's do that. And I can tell you about my movie experience.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw Rings.
Why?
On Saturday.
Why did you do that to yourself?
Because my cousin wanted to go. And she really...
Your cousin makes you watch a lot of bad movies.
She does. She really likes horror movies. And she really likes Samara. And she really likes The Ring. I really liked The Ring. I don't really remember Ring 2, to be honest.
It wasn't good, but I do remember it.
I don't remember a lot of it, but I think from what I do remember is it had a lot to do with Samara's, like, upbringing or whatever, like, her past. And this kind of, this movie shits on all of that, which is really interesting.
It's interesting.
Yeah, well.
How it shits all over everything.
Not surprising, maybe. but it was so, like... It honestly, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The beginning definitely was. The beginning, I felt like this was a movie that wanted to be a lot of other movies. Like, the first part of the movie takes place on an airplane, and so it reminded me a lot of Final Destination. It was really cheesy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of felt like one of those movies that kind of makes fun of the other movies. Like, what was the Scream one?
Oh, are you talking about Scary Movie?
Yeah,
like a satire?
Yeah, it kind of felt like that, but it was, like, serious. Mm. And then, like, the rest of the movie kind of was just, like, a retelling of the original, except for a new story about where Samara came from, but that was already discussed in the second Ring. And it was just really all over the place, and it didn't have a cohesive idea. And so I was kind of just sitting there with a really confused look on my face the entire time. It definitely felt like five movies mushed into one.
Yeah, I and when we did trailer trash talk on The Rings.
Yeah.
Don't ask me which episode it was, but it was probably like 4 or 5 months ago.
But this movie was supposed to come out in October.
It was.
And then I'm guessing that they, like, changed things and re-edited it. I don't know. It definitely feels not like it makes sense.
Well, and I saw the trailer and I thought, well, that could be good. It doesn't look awful.
I will tell you, it's not terrible. Like, when it's streaming...
I'll see it when it's streaming, for sure.
Like, the last half of it isn't bad, where they're, like, trying to figure out how to break the spell, for lack of better words, and, like, trying to figure out the puzzle, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of the first one, except for, obviously, it's not as good as the first one, because the first one is kind of, in my mind, don't make a fucking sequel of something that's, like, just really good to begin with. But,
I think, but there was a Japanese version of this movie, wasn't there? I know there were three Japanese Ring movies.
I've seen Ringu, and I've seen Ringu Zero, which is, like, the prequel. Uh-huh. And I loved those movies. Like,
I like those movies, too. And I saw them a long time ago, because I was obsessed with the Japanese horror in college.
Those movies are awesome. And they are done so well. And, like, I'm legitimately terrified of Asian babies.
Yeah.
Because of those movies. Same thing with, like, The Grudge.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. I also love Asian babies, by the way, because they're so adorable. But when they're creepy and, like, in The Grudge, when they open their mouth and, like, a cat meows, terrifying. But, those movies are really good. I thought The Ring, obviously, was a very good retelling of Ringu.
Yeah.
But then it kind of just got a little saturated, and I didn't... This movie should have been straight to VOD in my mind.
Yeah. Well, like, the other one that came out, don't ask me the name of it, but it's the Girl from the Ring versus the Girl from the Grudge.
Oh, yeah, I don't know the name of it.
Movie that just came out.
But that was wasn't that a Japanese movie?
It's I believe it's a Japanese movie, but it's only on Shudder. You can only stream it on Shudder. It's exclusive to Shudder. But the guys at Modern Horrors were talking about it, and it doesn't sound like it's worth seeing. But hell, if you have Shudder, please watch it. Let us know what you think. I'll check out Rings when it's streaming.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Because seriously, it's just not, I don't know. It just didn't, there wasn't like a cohesive idea. Like the first part of the movie felt totally different than the second.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't see it then. You know, I was thinking of seeing it. But then once the reviews started pouring in and people that I really respect and like on Twitter were shit-talking it, I was like, okay, well, maybe I can skip it.
Dude, the critic score is 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's insane.
It's bad. It's really bad.
I honestly, like, I wouldn't give it 5%. Like, I don't think it was, like, 5% worth. But, like, I mean, it wasn't good. But, like,
right, but I don't know. It's not based, the thing about Rotten Tomatoes is that it's not based on how bad the reviews are, it's based on how many reviews are not good.
That's true.
So
my review would probably, you know,
even if it's
4.
Mediocre reviews, it's a lot of mediocre reviews, which means it's not good. Sure. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, if you have a bunch of good reviews and some bad ones, then you'll get a better score.
Yeah.
So
it was weird.
That's what I like about Rotten Tomatoes is that I think, you know, even the bad reviews couldn't be that bad. Yeah. That's why usually I'll jump in and I'll try to read some of the bad reviews to see if they're actually bad or if they're just kind of bad.
Right.
Because, you know. But I'm glad you saw it. Thanks for biting that bullet for me.
And watch it on VOD if you want. It's really not a must-see. It really doesn't add anything to the universe.
Yeah.
In fact, all it changes the universe, I think. So...
Well, I applaud you for being brave.
I'm a really good cousin, you guys.
Yeah, you are a really good cousin. Okay, so I've been watching a couple new shows, or I've watched a couple episodes of a couple new shows. The first show I tried watching last week was the Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh my god, I want to watch that so bad.
Which is on Netflix. I only watched the first episode, and I heard it gets better. Starring Drew Barrymore and What's-His-Face from all the other shows.
Timothy Oliphant, guys. Come on. Scream 2, The Crazies, Broken Hearts Club. I love that guy.
He's also in, like, a million TV shows. Justified. He was in The Office for a little while.
He was on The Office?
Yeah, for, like, a season. Or, like, a half season.
I think I do remember that, actually. I love Timothy Oliphant.
I enjoy him as well. But he kind of always plays a similar character.
I heard that he steals the show. away from Drew in this particular situation.
I really like Drew Barrymore. I have a little bit of a hard time in this show with her. There's so many good people in this show, so I will try to attempt it again. And I try not to only watch a show for the first episode, because usually the first episode's not the best.
Definitely but keep watching it, because I've heard that it's really good from people that, like, I trust in
I will
filming.
Preface it by saying the first episode's a little bit disappointing. Not to say that I don't think it's redeemable. Like I said, it's hard to tell this story and set everything up in one episode, so it did feel a little bit rushed. We did get a lot of background.
Sure.
And the characters are like meh. But you know, I'm sure that works itself out. I will watch it again, but not super impressed with the first episode. I'll let you know next week. I'll watch a few more and see how I feel about those. Another show I've been watching and started watching last night and watched two episodes of was Trollhunters, which is Guillermo del Toro's new animated series on Netflix.
With Anton Yelchin.
It's, yes. And the first two episodes are, like, devoted to Anton Yelchin. I know. But Trollhunters, Carly, you would love it. It's really good. It's fun. Did you ever see How to Train Your Dragon?
Yes, and I loved it.
It feels similar to that. Similar kind of funny, like that movie. And it's Guillermo del Toro, so what's not to love? I highly recommend it. A lot of people are enjoying it, so I went ahead and watched it, and my husband and I watched a bunch last night and enjoyed it. So check that out. That's also on Netflix. Both are on Netflix. And I've been watching Buffy, as always.
I've been watching Gilmore Girls.
Obsessed with Buffy. I'm on season 5 now, so I'm trying to slow down and not binge as much, because it's coming closer to an end.
That's kind of how I've been, because I'm on season 6.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least you have those 4 episodes that are like an hour and a half long each.
That's true. Like, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I can't wait till you get there, because I want to hear what you think about the newer episodes. But you're in season 6 now, you said?
Yes.
And how are you enjoying that?
Good. So Rory's getting her shit together, because I really didn't like Rory for a lot of the season, because she's an idiot and she like dropped out of Yale and whatever. But then Jess came back and was like, "Why? Who are you?" And she was like, "I don't know. You're right."
And?
And then she broke up with Logan.
Now?
Not really Logan, though. Because Logan, like, told his sister that they weren't dating anymore. And she was like, "That's news to me, motherfucker."
Yeah. Yeah.
But she didn't say that because it was on the CW or something like that. So she can't use that language.
Wait. Pause for a second. So Jess came back.
Yeah. And wrote a book.
And?
He's fine. I like Jet. I mean, I like, what's his face? What's his name in real life? Milo.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah, I like that guy. And I like him in his adult form. That sounded weird.
I like you in your adult form.
That sounded weird and sexual, but it wasn't the purpose.
It's okay. Embrace it. He's sexy.
I will say he's super sexy with a beard in that new show.
Oh my God. Yes. That show is so good.
I haven't watched it yet, but because I'm not ready to cry incessantly.
You are going to cry the whole time.
I know.
It's so good,
guys,
though.
I cry
it's
over so everything. Like, I cry over, like, anything happens in a movie that's, like, supposed to be warm or touching, and I'm, like, a blubbering mess. But anyway, so Jess came back, and I liked him because he fixed Rory. And so now her mom and her are talking again, and Lorelai got the dress, and then everything else fell into place because her and Luke are getting married. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Oh, well, I'm excited for you.
And I love
Paul
Anka.
Please keep me updated.
The dog.
Yeah, Paul Anka's great. So I'm at Buffy. I'm in season 5. Stuff's going down with Spike. Spike is now obsessed with Buffy. Like, so obsessed
with Buffy.
I love Spike.
Spike in love with Buffy. It's so funny.
I love Spike in love with Buffy. He, like, steals her underwear.
He's such a creeper. But it's like Spike. So you're like, it's fine. Whatever.
He's like, I'm stealing stuff from your basement. What? And she's like, are those my pictures?
So good.
He's, like, stealing photographs of her and, like, smelling her sweater.
It's like one of the, that classic thing of, like, if you are attracted to this person, it's endearing and adorable. But, like, if you are not attracted to this person, it's creepy and disgusting. And what is he doing?
I like how it's like a combination of creepy and disgusting and like sweet at the same time, because he hates it so much. It's so comical and enjoyable, and I love it so much. And I love this plot line, and I want it to continue forever.
I love it.
And Riley just left, and good riddance, and I'm glad he's gone. Too. So that's where I'm at in Buffy. Again, I'm obsessed. I'm so happy with how the series is going. I love Willow and her love interest, her beautiful lesbian love fest.
Tara.
They're dancing and they float because they're so happy. I just love it. I love it. So Buffy just makes me so happy, and I never want it to end. And once it ends, I'm sure I'll just start all over again.
I cried when it ended.
Yeah, I bet. I have watched a few episodes of Angel. I'm mostly just watching the crossover episodes because you kind of miss stuff if you don't. Yeah. I don't have very much interest in watching it by itself.
Me either. Though. I've tried a couple times. Although, it's never been successful.
I will mention that I really miss Cordelia. I love Cordelia.
Isn't she so cute?
She's the most adorable. My favorite was, what was the episode where Buffy could hear everyone's thoughts?
Yes.
I love that episode. Buffy can hear everyone's thoughts, and Cordelia says everything she thinks. And she's like the only person that Buffy's not freaking out about.
It's so, she's so cute.
She's so honest and like just, she says what she thinks, and she doesn't think about anything other than what she says.
I love her. She's so funny.
If you haven't listened to Buffering the Vampire podcast or whatever Jenny Owen Young's podcast is, they do. So I didn't get to mention this last time. I'm not going to really plug them again, but I just want to mention to you, Carly, that you know how Jenny's a singer. So they do a Buffy-inspired jingle at the end of every episode. They make up a Buffy song about each episode.
Oh my God.
You have to listen. You will love it so much.
I might have to restart the series just so I can listen to this podcast.
Oh my God. So they have a Cordelia jingle that they sing every episode whenever Cordelia does something awesome. And it makes me so happy. And then they make up a song at the end of every episode that talks about the episode. It's just great. It's so good.
I love that.
I highly recommend listening to that podcast just because I just love them. Okay. Anything else to add before we move on and end and then talk more about spoil?
Nope, I'm ready to spoil.
Okay. So, well, let's quickly close out then. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone. Thanks to Justin Link for our amazing logo. Visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for information on them, to stream our episodes, or whatever else. I don't know. What else do we have on there? Not much.
It's been a while since I've gone on there. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be honest with you. Our website's all that impressive. But if you want that information, it's all up there for you. We also still have a lot of stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes. Then send us an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com and we'll send some directly to you. Ooh. For free from us because we love you.
That's true. True statements all around.
Yes, ma'am.
Final Girls Horrorcast is a part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and everywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. I could have just sworn that someone was like playing a recorder outside my window.
I swear to God, I heard that.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not insane because that was weird.
Yeah, it's probably just like a little ghost kid playing a recorder out your window. Don't worry about it. No, don't look at
whatever.
It. Just pretend it didn't happen.
I see dead people.
So that's it for today. Tune in next week when Carly and I are discussing some neonatal horror thrillers.
What the fuck?
You heard me correctly. You don't like that, Carly?
I loved it so much that it caught me by so much surprise that I had to...
Let me do that again without you dying. When Carly and I discuss some neonatal horror thrillers, Anti-Birth and Shelley, now streaming on Netflix. Warning to those of you who may be pregnant or have children.
Oh my God. Hilarious.
A lot of body horror is going to happen. I'm really excited about
it. I'm so excited.
I've been wanting to see Anti-Birth forever. Okay, So we're closing out. Again, stay tuned after the music so we can talk spoilers about Split if you've seen it. Otherwise, we'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye, loves. So thanks for waiting for spoilers. Let's spoil this shit. Oh my god, this ending, what the fuck?
Can I tell you? Are we just gonna jump right in?
I mean, we kind of have to, right?
So I loved, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I loved that the twist of this movie is that there isn't a twist. That like, this dude, the beast is real. He's fucking real. And it's like, he's right. Been talking about it the whole time. That's why they've captured these kids, and there's no twist. He's the beast.
I think the twist of this movie is that it's not a horror movie all of a sudden.
It's real life.
It's all of a sudden gonna be a superhero movie. Like,
but it's not.
This is just, I mean, this is just an origin story for a superhero movie that's gonna be coming
but
soon.
I guess because I know that it ties in with Unbreakable.
I'm quoting M. Night Shyamalan here, that the twist of this movie is that it is not a horror
There's
movie.
There's no twist.
This is the twist. The very end. Bruce Willis appearing. Mr. Glass. Blah, blah, blah.
Pretty sure I squealed in real life.
I almost shit my pants in the theater.
Tying in The Visit.
Oh my god. Yeah, right. I wish I had one of my diapers from The Visit. Because I, and Tony's sitting next to me, and I'm like, what? What just happened? What the fuck just happened?
I literally was like, oh my god. I think I was like that lady.
I think I was the only person in the theater that got it. Because there was a lot of young people in the theater with me.
It's so funny.
And I was like, what? And everyone else was like, that was a weird ending. And I'm like, no, it wasn't a weird ending. It makes perfect sense. You guys need to pay attention.
That's exactly how I was. Steve was with me. And at the end of the movie, he's apparently, which I did not know this about the man that I've been dating for 6 years, is that he's never seen Unbreakable. And so while we're watching this, and then it's happened, and I'm having a freaking heart attack in my inside, and then all of a sudden he's like, haha, they just throw in Bruce Willis at the end. I'm like, fuck no, are you kidding me? How have you never seen this movie? And then I yelled at him.
I think, I don't know if Tony's seen Unbreakable, but I'm not sure if he got it at the end or not. But I was definitely freaking out. And now I need to rewatch Unbreakable because it's been a really long time since I've seen it. And now I don't remember the details of it. And I'm like, well, now I'm missing something. Now I have to rewatch Unbreakable, then rewatch Split.
Totally. No, and that's
tie all the ends
I literally
together.
Wanted to text you the moment that the movie was over and be like, we need to watch Unbreakable. But then I was like, then she'll know that I loved this movie. We can't talk about it.
Until I know, I did the same thing.
I had so much inner conflict in my body that I was like, I don't know what to do. And so then I just didn't do anything.
Yeah, Carly and I have a thing that we do where we try not to discuss at all the movies before we podcast because we want it to be fresh and spur of the moment when we talk about them. We don't really want to know what each other thinks about it unless it's really bad, in which case Carly would be like, I fucking hate this
In which case I'll be like, I can't get through the monster.
Yeah. Carly especially hated the monster. but for the most part, we try not to say what we think about movies. I mean, unless it's movies we've seen 100 times before or whatever. But so especially with this movie, I didn't want to say anything. But after I saw it, I was like, did you see it yet?
Like, I'm seeing it. I had to watch Lady Gaga. I'm going at 6:15.
That's true. I watched Lady Gaga when I got back.
Nice.
And you left right after Lady
it's
Gaga.
True.
So it worked out. I really need to rewatch Unbreakable now. It's my to-do list for this week.
Is that on HBO Go?
I think so. I'm not 100% on that, so don't quote me on it, but I think so. Okay, so let's dig in a little bit because there are definitely some things I want to talk about, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I don't want to edit this episode for 5 hours. We're already cool. In over an hour. So, quickly, hey, pardon me, sir. I think you have the wrong car is the dumbest line of this movie.
Yeah. Excuse me. I love that what's-her-face, Anya Taylor-Joy, is just like, something's not right.
I like how immediately we know she's smarter than everyone else, and more observant, and...
And she's not even supposed to be there.
Yeah. Can you please walk me through the beginning? Because I was very aggravated in the theater. There were two young ladies behind me with plastic bags... that insisted on opening plastic bags, jiggling plastic bags, putting things in plastic bags, for the entire beginning of the movie that I move seats. And I kind of miss the very beginning when they meet and they say, come with us.
Sure. So Anya Taylor-Joy, who is Casey Cook.
Yep.
So it is, Claire's birthday.
Okay.
Claire and Marcia, best friends.
Yeah.
Right? And Claire is a nice human, and so she invites everybody to her birthday, okay. Right? Including Casey, who's not necessarily the most popular person. We learn immediately right off that she gets in trouble a lot. She's in detention a lot.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have any friends. And she... is calling to try to get a ride, and she, as we learn later, that, like, she doesn't want to get a fucking ride, first of all.
Right.
But she's kind of like, sorry, like, his car broke down. Like, my uncle's car broke down. I can't get a ride. And Claire's dad is like, we're not leaving her. Like, we'll give you a ride home. And so these, obviously, like, the two girls who are best friends get in the back so they can, like, giggle and talk and whatever. Right. And so Casey is kind of stuck in the front.
Thank you for catching me up, because I did – I think I jumped in and started paying attention. I was so aggravated, and I get so aggravated so easily, and it just, like, distracts me from everything else. You know, we move seats, and by the time I sat down, it was like, you have to come with us, blah, blah, blah. So then at that point, I'm like, okay, I get that she's going with them and she wasn't supposed mm-hmm. to, but I didn't really know where they were going or anything like that. So thank you for filling me in there.
Yes.
Fuck you to the stupid girls behind me making plastic bag noises for the first 15 minutes of this movie. I fucking sat in the first row and I was so angry about it. But I was like,
there were definitely kids next to us that were like teenagers that were like talking and like on their phone. And like Steve literally was like, shut the fuck up. But he probably was way nicer about it. But it was like, it was bad. Like, why spend that money to just go and be an obnoxious in
theater? I don't think the girls meant to be obnoxious. And I did give them kind of a death stare. But I do this thing where I'm either passive aggressive or I'm a bitch. So there's no like, there's no in between for me. Like, I don't know how to be like, excuse me, can you try to keep it down? I don't know how to do that. It's not something mm-hmm. that I'm able to do. It's either
That's me.
It's either me turning around giving you the bitch stare. Every few minutes to try to stop you from doing whatever you're doing, or I will straight up yell at you.
I'm always fuming inside.
Yeah.
Like, the rage that I never feel in my day-to-day life builds up inside of me.
Yeah.
But I can't express it. I'm always like, excuse me. Like, I might say it in like, an annoying tone. Like, my tone means, excuse me, you're being fucking retarded. Can you please, sorry. Excuse me, you're being fucking obnoxious. Can you please shut your mouth? But I'm like, can you please be quiet?
Yeah.
You're being really loud.
See, you're able to do it. That's the thing. I can't do that. It either comes out as a death stare or it comes out as, can you fucking move if you're going to be loud the whole time? Because I paid money to see this movie and I don't want to listen to your ass.
That's all I'm saying.
Like, those are my ways of dealing with it. I don't have anything in between. I need to work on that.
Yeah.
But instead of getting in an argument and missing more of the movie, I opted just to move and whatever. So I
That's probably smarter. I should have done that, but I didn't.
Well, the thing is, after I moved, I was upset I moved because I was like, fuck them. They should have moved. I had great seats. It always happens. I sit, I get the perfect seats, and someone sits right behind me that's like got the crinkliest, loudest whatever with them. And I'm like, come on.
Stop. See, the crinkle doesn't bother me because I've been that person, and I always try to now open my bags, like, during the previews.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're...
Well, I mean, and they talked throughout the entire previews. I'm sorry. Previews are still quiet time for me.
Oh, me too. Commercials, they're important.
Commercials are talk time. Previews, trailers are quiet time. If you're talking during a trailer, I'm pissed. Unless it's between trailers when you go, that looks bad, or that looks good. those are the only good times to talk. Otherwise, I'm pissed at you. I have a lot of prerequisites. Seinfeld episode.
No, I'm right there with you.
So anyway, I had to move seats and I missed the beginning. And then I was mad that I missed the beginning. And then it was a whole thing. So anyway.
Seriously, it jumps right in. And I love that about
this movie. It definitely does jump right in. There's no like lull here.
No, it's like, hey, you're in it.
Yeah. Hey, shit's going down right off the bat. And it only gets worse.
I love that scene where it just like shows her like glancing at the rearview mirror or at the side mirror and seeing like the, you know, takeout on the ground.
Yeah.
And then like she's like slowly inching towards the door and it makes that noise. And you're just like, oh my God, he's so creepy.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because I wonder about her. And as we learn more about her history, I wonder even more, because when she's in that situation at the beginning and she wants to leave the car and her hand's on the handle and she's trying to slowly get out of the car because he sprayed the two girls in the back, but he didn't spray her. And they obviously weren't trying to take her originally, right? They were trying to take the other two girls. Right. I think, you know, he wasn't even spraying her. It was like he didn't even notice her. It was weird. And she went to get out, and then the ding ding happens because she opens the door when the car's turned on and he just turns and sprays her. But I think if she was faster at it, she probably could have drawn attention to the situation and got away.
I totally thought the same thing. I was like, I would have been like, hua, hua, roll under the car next to me. Like, I would have like figured out some shit.
Do you know martial arts? I would have been a ninja.
Yeah. I'd have been like, whoosh.
Hua isn't even a thing that I've ever heard anyone do martial arts say.
Bruce Lee.
Hua? Hua?
90% sure that he said that in the movie. but like, while dude was like spraying the chicks in the back that aren't my friends, I probably would have peaced out.
Right. She probably could have. But I think as we learn more about her, like, those ends get tied pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Because she's abused growing up. And you learn more and more that she was really abused growing up. And then her uncle ends up taking care of her. And he's the fucking worst. So,
dude from Orange is the New Black, man.
Yeah. And like, it's kind of like that whole experience taught her that she's fucking stronger than she knew. So it makes sense. But she's also so smart. That, like, I don't know. It kind of feels like she's okay with the situation until it escalates. And I wonder if when the girls first get captured and they all are talking about jumping him and they're all actually trying to figure out a way to get out of the situation, she's almost content in that situation.
I feel like it's not necessarily that she's content, but she wants all of the information.
Yeah, she's very calculated before... in her decisions. And she won't make a decision without all the information.
Correct. But she also is very, like, she identifies things before they happen. Like, when we first see James McAvoy's character come in and try to take one of the girls, she's immediately like, pee on yourself.
Yeah.
Which is like, why you think to yourself, like, that's kind of weird that that's like her first instinct. But then, like, as we obviously realize that she's been sexually abused by her uncle, like, that's probably a defense mechanism that she was trying to like give to Marcia's character, like, so she wouldn't get abused, especially when she notices that James McAvoy is like OCD. So obviously germs, she's not going to like that.
Yeah, really smart. So she's
very smart right off the bat, and you notice that.
Well, yeah, she's a fucking survivor for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that she told the cop at the end about her uncle?
I want to believe that she did.
I do too. I feel like she did. That's why I feel like
that's where the hesitation comes from, and there's that kind of sense of recognition over the cop's face too.
And it's a female cop, which makes you feel like she would be comfortable enough to talk about it. You know what I mean? I like that. I like that ending. I like how they left it open, and I really like to think that she did say something about it.
Agreed.
Because anyone who's dealt with trauma, and you're like, you know, you ready to go home? Most people are going to be like, fuck yes, I want to go home. And if you're hesitating, that should be a red flag to any cop that, you know, for some reason, this chick doesn't want to go home.
This chick who was just found in an animal cage doesn't want to go home after being through this tumultuous situation. Right. Something's going on.
Right, for sure. Okay. I like the depth of this movie. I like the background. I like the flashbacks when they happen. I think they're effective and they're necessary, and it doesn't seem...
It doesn't
excessive.
Seem forced.
It doesn't yeah. seem forced at all.
And that was kind of the thing. I mean, we talked about this a little bit with The Visit, is that M. Night Shyamalan always, I mean, whenever there's this dialogue where they're referring to something that's going to be present later in the movie, you're very much aware of it. And you're very like, oh, this is going to come back. Why is it going to come back? But like, I didn't really feel that way with the flashbacks. I really felt that it was just like explaining the story.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like giving me a bit of background about this character and why maybe she's doing certain things. But I didn't necessarily immediately think, oh, this is foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Which I was really excited about.
I agree. I liked how it ended, in terms of Casey's character, with her and James McAvoy's character, you know, having their exchange and him attacking her and her locking herself in this cage and him seeing her scars from her life and saying, oh, you are different. You're more evolved.
Pure.
You're evolved because you've been through shit.
Yeah. You have a pure heart.
Yeah. Which is interesting. That's an interesting way to put it, is that you have a pure heart. I understand the evolution part of what he's talking about, in that you have to evolve to deal with hard times, and it makes you a stronger person in the end. Which is ultimately what happens to him, right? I mean, he evolves from... they basically say during the movie is that he started gaining all these personalities in order to cope with what was happening to him in his real life. And it seems like the personalities get stronger and stronger when you end up with the beast at the end. And I just like that. I like that I like how the story evolves into this, this point of evolution, and how, I mean, it's not a fresh take to say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Going through shit makes you a better person, or makes you a stronger person in the end. If you can survive it, you're a stronger person. But this takes that to the next level and says that not only are you stronger, you're a better person and you're a stronger person, and you can take on more shit than anyone else. And the more shit you deal with, the better you are as a person.
I just think it's so interesting, because it's like really looking at this disorder. And, like, the Dr. Fletcher, mm-hmm. who is, you know, kind of an advocate for these, the people with, is it like DID or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, DID.
And how, you know, she thinks that this is a superpower. She thinks that, you know, these people with their minds can literally make their body's cells configure differently. Like, mm-hmm. one personality can have diabetes and one personality doesn't. One personality is smaller and one personality is this huge beast. Like, it's yeah. just so interesting how you can see the actuality of it, but then it also becomes, like you said, a superhero movie.
Yeah, and Dr. Karen's character is great in that she helps to evolve the story in ways that would have been difficult to do otherwise, and that you see her make breakthroughs with Dennis, who's one of the personalities. You see how smart she is and how she can tell who all these personalities are, how these personalities are almost her family. And she even says that towards the end, like, she never had a traditional family. Her clients are her personality, her family. And you really do get a feel for that. She cares for him mm-hmm. and all of his personalities. And she plays to that to get to safety, but it unfortunately doesn't play out in her favor.
Oh, I was so sad when she got crushed to bits. But she got how totally effective crushed to bits. Was it when he comes up behind her as the beast and yeah. he's like squeezing her and she takes that knife and stabs him and the knife freaking breaks?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. This is serious business.
And he's crawling on the walls, and it looks great. The yeah. effects are great.
Yeah.
I like how he's transforming, but he doesn't really transform. Like, he's a little vainier, and he seems invincible in terms of physicality, but he doesn't look any different. And that's one of the things I like about this movie is, you know, when he's other characters, his mannerisms change, and he might look slightly different in the way he carries himself. And he does seem stronger and taller in certain characters than others. I really liked Hedwig, and the one thing I wanted to say that made me uncomfortable was when Hedwig was dancing.
Oh my god! I just literally my mind being an actor and like being on like on movie sets before. Yeah. I was just immediately like, imagine watching this. How amazing! Yeah. It's like immediately where my mind went.
And terrifying. But also the funniest thing ever, I was cracking up because he does such a good job. This is what kids are like, for sure.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, I know, I'm such a good dancer.
Like, my brother and I are 8 years apart, so when I was a teenager, he was a little child. Really? I didn't know that. Fun
but
fact.
I'm the younger one. My sister's 8 years older than me.
So, like, I would experience, like, my brother being like, look how cool I am. And yeah. Like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. Yeah. And so, like, you know, watching this is, like, that is, like, legit a nine-year-old child.
Yeah. It's funny. It's cute. The window thing is funny and cute.
Et cetera. You learn a word and you just want to say it over and over
yeah.
again.
You know, just little, I mean, this is where M. Night Shyamalan shines. He has his... these sprinklings of personality and specificity that just kind of enrapture you in the story and get you really wrapped up in these characters and care about, and you care about James McAvoy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these characters are endearing and wonderful and sweet, and some of these characters are terrifying, and it's all the same person. Like, it's awesome. It's very
watching,
cool.
Like, watching him turn into Kevin, like, his number one personality, yes. I guess,
yeah.
is, like, so heartbreaking.
Really heartbreaking.
Because you realize that the last thing that he remembers is, like, 2014,
yeah.
I think he says.
Yeah.
Which is, like, insane. And then, like, when he notices, like, you know, Dr. Fletcher is dead and, like, he pleads with this girl to kill him.
Yeah.
Like... you understand that he understands the severity of this issue. And, like, my heart was, like, so sad for him. But then it's, like, you have these other people. And I really like how they refer to it as the light. Like, being the main person was, like, the light.
Right.
And, like, how they, you know, their superhero name, for lack of better words, is the Horde.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited about this movie. And I'm so excited for, like, the next installment.
That one scene where James McAvoy goes through, like, 10 characters in, like, 5 minutes is, like, it's like watching someone do their art. You know, it's so good. It's, like, it's so impressive.
Seriously.
He just seamlessly goes through these different characters, and you're like, I know what character that is, and I know what character. Even characters you don't necessarily see before or mm-hmm. see much of, you know who they are based on just people talking about them. Because one of them's really into fashion, and one of them's a diabetic and a girl, and one of them is really sweet, and one of them's a little boy, and one of, like, you know who they all are. You know, you can see him going through and turning into each one of these people in such a short period of time.
And, like, he's going through all these things, and you're like, oh, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. But then when he gets to Hedwig, you, like, immediately understand that Hedwig is the path to these other bad characters.
Yeah.
Hedwig allows Dennis and the lady whose name I can't remember.
Miss Patricia.
Like, Hedwig is the reason that these characters are allowed to be in the light and allowed to have that control. And so immediately when it hits Hedwig, you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This isn't good. What's going to happen now?
And it's kind of crazy because they all have James McAvoy's face, but you also mm-hmm. kind of have your own face in the background that you, like, mm-hmm. make up for them almost. Like, I can picture Miss Patricia, you know, as a woman.
Oh, my God, yes.
And
when she's, like, talking about how, like, the sandwich has paprika in it, I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
It really is really good. And I
James
don't
McAvoy
know.
James McAvoy is a god.
I don't know that Joaquin Phoenix could have pulled it off. I'm just being honest. Like, I like Joaquin Phoenix. I'm one of the few people that actually really like Joaquin Phoenix. And I think he's a great actor. And I'm sure he could have done an okay job. But I don't know that he could have done this good of a job.
I don't think he could have been, like, he could have done this well, because I feel like, not that, like, James McAvoy is feminine by any means, but, like, Joaquin Phoenix is, like, he's, like, a big guy. He's very, like, masculine. He's got very distinctive features. Yeah. James McAvoy has very soft features. Like, he definitely can be harsh, but, like, he can also, like, he's got really small lips, and he's got a really, like, soft kind of nose. Like, he's got these very, like, soft features that can allow him to go really soft or also harden and kind of become more defined. And so I think this really helped him out, obviously, and his amazing acting chops to kind of be this, like, super aggressor, but also to be very, like, flatlined and chill and, like, not intimidating.
I really also thought, like, by far Dennis is the most terrifying character to me, like, even more than the Beast. I was more afraid for the girls when Dennis was around than when the Beast was around. Like, granted, the Beast is fucking terrifying in its own way.
But he's predictable. You know what his endgame is.
He's predictable, and also he's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he's talking at the end, you're like, oh. It's so weird because he's so animalistic in his actions, but when he talks, he's very brilliant.
Yeah.
And it really shines through. I can't say enough good things. What I will say is that one thing that bothered me, I had a little bit of trouble at the very end. While I'm excited to see what happens, I'm a little bit worried that it's going to kind of make this movie a little saltier for me.
Feel like no matter what happens, I'm going to love this movie, I think. Because, I don't know, wherever this ends up going, this was an amazing starting off point, and it was a really an amazing kind of turnaround for M. Night Shyamalan. I hope that he goes, you know, I hope that he has an idea. I trust more than ever, I guess, in his career.
He's had this idea for a long time, I think.
Yeah, so like
he
I trust
to
that
do a sequel to Unbreakable for a while. This is not new. I think maybe adding the Split section to it might be a little bit new. Mm-hmm. And my guess, and this is totally a guess, so I haven't read much about it, is that it's going to be James McAvoy versus, you know, Mr. Glass and whatever. And what is his name? I forget what Bruce Willis's character's name is.
It's like the Unbreakable guy.
It's like James Judd or something like that. It's like, it's very comic booky, where it's like an alliteration of itself. It's like JJ. It's like two different J names, you know, like Peter Parker or whatever.
Sure. Let's see. I am pulling it up right now. David Dunn.
I knew it was like that. So, you know, but we'll see.
Dude,
I don't want to
totally
write it off.
I forgot Robin Wright was in it. Unbreakable. She's such a babe. I love her.
She is such a babe. Even though she's got that weird thing.
Huge lady crush on Robin Wright.
Well, I think that's it for me. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I love James McAvoy.
I do too. I do too now.
Good. I'm glad. Spread the love.
I'm thrilled with this movie. I'm glad we saw it. I'm glad we did an episode on it.
Me too. It's been a really long time since I've been excited over a movie like this. Like, I left the theater feeling thoroughly excited about what I'd just seen.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely left the theater and, like, really loved a movie, but, like, I was excited. Like, what else do we have out there? Like, I was just, I don't know. I can't wait to see what else is going to happen with these.
Me too. Films. I'm stoked. I'm really excited about M. Night Shyamalan all of a sudden. And it's nice to feel that way. It's like almost nostalgic.
Yeah.
Going back to a time when I loved James McAvoy. M. Night Shyamalan.
Just got him on the brain.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. We'll close it out here. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Oh, Shania Twain, bitches.